feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is the Rita Cosby Show.
Lovely Rita, meet a maid. Nothing can come between us. When it gets dark, I tow your heart away. Standing by a parking meter.
And tonight there are arrests taking place all over the country at various campuses. Welcome to the Rita Cosby Show. And these protesters, many of them, I believe, are professional protesters, professional agitators. I think protesters is too nice of a word to describe them. Maybe some professional terrorists, because some of the things that they're saying are downright terrifying. And they are now taking place, these protests, because guess what happens? If you let it go at one Ivy League campus, another Ivy League campus sees it, and then they jump on the bandwagon. And then in addition to that, we're seeing now a whole bunch of schools across the country. There are more than 50 schools right now that are having different kinds of protests, like what we're seeing at Columbia University, like what we're seeing also at NYU, Yale, Harvard, and now it is going to University of Texas. And guess what? You don't mess with Texas. You know that because the state troopers came in there on horseback. They came in and they said, we are not taking this whatsoever. Here's a little bit of some of the sounds from a few hours ago in Texas. And a few minutes after that, the police on horseback came in and said, guess what? We ain't going to put up with this. Then also at the University of South Carolina in Los Angeles, they are now protesting at this hour and they're getting arrested at this hour there too as well, because they have learned a lesson so far as to what not to do by what you're seeing on Columbia's campus. In Columbia at the university there, well, the president said, you know what, we're going to give you until midnight. That was supposed to be last night, to clear all the tents from the encampment, the little mini tent city that's in the middle there of the university. And guess what happened? Midnight came and went and more tents went up. They're like, we don't care what you have to say. We're here for free speech, they said, and we're not going anywhere. And in fact, when they were trying to move some of the people, they were shouting and screaming and it just got really ugly. And this president does not have a clue at Columbia University. And now it seems like all sides are calling for her to resign. There are also reports tonight that a number of hedge funds, remember when all this broke out and there was word about those who were protesting that they were suddenly going to be on a list from Wall Street firms, which, you know, hire a lot of these kids from Ivy League schools, you know, right when they get out of college, their dream is to work for some very wealthy hedge fund or a wealthy charity or a wealthy different companies. Well, guess what? Some of the biggest owners of some of those hedge funds and some of the biggest managers of the companies and hedge funds, guess what? They're Jewish, or they support Jewish people. They support people being treated equally and appropriately. And so now there's word tonight that a number of these folks from these wealthy hedge funds are saying, you know what, we're going to kind of put a list together of people that we do not want to hire. That's why it's important that I think they round these people up and arrest them and throw them in the clink. Because I'm telling you, that's the only way these people are going to learn a lesson. Just a little bit ago, I was watching my friend Professor Alan Dershowitz talking on one of the media shows. And he said something really powerful. He said, you know what? If you look at the transformation, what happens is they start with a few words, then they become activists, then they turn into inciters. And then the next step is they become actual terrorists. That these are the people that finally, when Hamas or somebody comes into the country, they're like, who do we want to recruit? And these are the people that raise their hand and say, hey, pick me, pick me, pick me. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. And why don't these people show their face? Some of them do, but a lot of them are acting like COVID is still going on because they have their masks on that's covering half of their face. Is that because they want to protest, but they don't want people to know that they're protesting, or they don't want people to see them if they get hauled up by the police? If you're out there shouting, "I love Hamas," let's see your face so we know some of these hedge funds and others who not to hire, who would be very bad and very disgraceful employees. What are your thoughts, guys? 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. And you are listening to The Rita Cosby Show. Well, earlier today, something that President Biden has not done. President Biden so far has not even visited one of these college campuses where these protests are taking place. He keeps dancing around. He's so mamsy-pamsy about all of these different protests that are taking place. And in fact, today, I'll play a little later on some of the comments when the big $95 billion aid bill was passed. Well, what happens? He starts rebuking Israel. He goes on and on about Ukraine. Then he talks about Israel, maybe for 5 seconds. And then he says, well, a lot of this is going to go to aid towards Gaza. And Israel, don't you block that aid towards Gaza. He had more harsh words for Israel than he did for Hamas. What is wrong with our president? And I contend that's why we're seeing the protest today. If this president had the guts and had the cojones to early on say, we're not going to tolerate this. This is not acceptable. And especially from someone like him, because a number of the people in there are Democrats. If he came out and actually spoke out, boy, things might be different now. But now these protesters feel emboldened. They feel they can get away with it. They feel like, oh, it's free speech, even if we say we love terrorists. I'm sorry, it's not free speech. It is hate speech. And guess what? We need to start clamping down and we need leaders with guts. Well, I'm glad today that Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, showed up at Columbia and he finally said what we're all thinking. Take a listen.
This kind of hatred and anti-Semitism to flourish on our campuses, and it must be stopped in its tracks. Those who are perpetrating this violence should be arrested. And I'm here today joining my colleagues and calling on President Shafiq to resign if she cannot immediately bring order to this chaos. As Speaker of the House, I am committing today that the Congress will not be silent as Jewish students are expected to run for their lives and stay home from their classes hiding in fear.
Yeah, guess what? Major civil rights violations, saying that Jewish students, basically, too bad. If you're a Jewish student right now, I would launch the biggest civil rights lawsuit ever because they are forcing you to stay away from learning. Can you imagine? Somebody said earlier today, if this had happened at Howard University, which is, you know, predominantly, obviously, an all African-American university, a great university, actually, there's some great people that have come out of Howard. Can you imagine if it happened where they said, shouted these things about African-Americans? Are you kidding me? They would last about 5 seconds. So why are the folks who are going after the Jewish population treating them so terribly and getting a pass? What is going on with our university presidents and what is going on with our standards and our morals in this country that we're allowing this to go on? I am disgusted when I see these protests taking place all over the country and then I hear almost the utter silence from our president of the United States. I'm embarrassed. And here is the speaker, because right after he spoke there at Columbia University with Jewish students and other members of Congress, Anthony D'Esposito, who was on the show last night, he was there. Also Mike Lawler and also Nicole Malliotakis, they were there by his side. Well, afterwards, Speaker Johnson called in to Katz and Cosby, the show I host with John Catsimatidis at 5 p.m. on WABC Radio. And he said that Jewish students, I asked him, what is the message that you want to send to Jewish students? And this is what he told me.
Our message today was a very important one. And I shared this simple truth that neither Israel nor the Jewish students of Columbia University or anywhere else in this country are ever going to stand alone. And we have a responsibility as elected officials, as members of the United States Congress, to call for an end to this madness. And it is threatening to them. It is intimidating to them. It's terribly discriminatory. Jewish students cannot be treated as second-class citizens. End of sentence.
Yeah, and why is it being allowed that they're being treated as second-class citizens? What has happened to us as a society that somehow that has become acceptable in any shape or form? I contend it should not. And I think you know the right answer too, as well. And here's a little bit more from Speaker Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, who had the courage to come. He was getting shouted down, by the way, because guess what? He spoke on the steps and then all these protesters came up right to the steps. So they were trying to scream and shout him down. And he kept on going. He said, you have a right to free speech, but you don't have a right to hate speech. And here is what he said to us afterwards, which he said is chilling, because he said what he is seeing on these campuses, this is not free speech. This is what they saw in Europe in the 1930s. This is the rise of the Nazi Party. Listen to this.
There is no comparison. The civil rights movement was based upon peaceful protest. I mean, Martin Luther King Jr. was insistent upon that. This is something very different. These are students who are out chanting in support of terrorists. They're chasing down Jewish students. They're shouting racial epithets and screaming at people just for wearing the Star of David. They're telling them to leave the country. And shamefully, you have professors and faculty who are joining these lawless mobs. This is not who we are in America. And Columbia University has allowed these lawless agitators and these radicals that literally take over the campus. And the virus of anti-Semitism is spreading now to other campuses. We have to stop it. This is the thing, you know, the substance of the 1930s. It looks like some of the same images and same ideology as the Nazis. And that we've got to stop.
That is chilling. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. And we'll take your calls when we come back.
The Rita Cosby Show. It's the Rita Cosby Show.
This could be our theme song to the protesters out there, because, boy, they are driving us nuts. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. And these pro-Hamas, anti-Israeli protests are taking place all over the country. Now, even professors are also speaking out about what they're experiencing. But we're hearing nothing. Good old President Biden. You can count on that. Crickets. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Stan. Stan, your thoughts about all this.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm good.
First up for a change. Anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
You
got to keep you on your toes.
I appreciate that. Here we go.
You got to keep you on your toes.
You ready? I think it's a political stunt. You'd never see. The Republicans have never come to the bastion of liberalism. Columbia University. All of a sudden, they show up here, and look. I'm a Jew. I'm against what's going on there. Absolutely. But what is he going? He comes there. He ain't going to do anything. He talks to the president of the college.
Because guess what? You know what? He doesn't have to go to the Citadel because they're not protesting at the Citadel, Stan.
You
go where the protests are, and guess what? The protests hadn't been happening until the last few months.
He did it for politics. He wants.
He did it because he finally had some moral clarity. I'm not saying him. I'm saying I'm glad to see a leader having moral clarity. He had more guts than the president of the United States, who hasn't said a damn thing.
He'll be saying something as much look, this is a speech situation, and you're right, you mentioned hate speech before. It's a fine line and so forth. I've said it before, they have a right to speak, and you have said it before.
Yeah, I do too. It's when it gets nasty and when it gets threatening.
Right, but going there is political. He knows he's not going to get, he isn't going to resign because he said, I'd like to see him. He's not going to resign. And him coming there was strictly political. That was it. It showed nothing.
It showed courage.
Nothing's going to be accomplished from it.
You know what it showed? It brought attention to the problem, and it showed.
We know there's a problem.
And it showed that some leaders care in Washington, because the person at 1600 Pennsylvania,
Rita,
hasn't said anything. Stan, where is the on-camera statement from President Biden? I honestly, where is it? Where is him?
He came out with a statement.
You know who did it?
It wasn't him.
It was Andrew Bates, who's his press secretary.
Okay, Here's the thing, Rita. Stan, he was asked the other day,
and for some reason, he had marbles in his mouth. Because he couldn't answer the question. He was asked, what do you think? Well, I don't agree with anti-Semitism, but what's happening in Gaza? You know what he should be doing? He should be pounding his fist and saying, you know what? This is America. We need to accept all students, whether you're Jewish or not. And we need to treat each other fairly. I will not see this on college campuses. This is enough. And I am asking you to stop or you will be arrested. And you know when he should have said that? On October 7th or October 8th. Because maybe we wouldn't see what's going on right now across the country. But he didn't have the guts, Stan, as usual.
Rita, would you see these people, with the speaker and these people, being at a black college telling them about racism? Never Republicans went down
to a black college
when it was racial. But they come here.
Stan, I agree with you that I would hope anybody, whether it's Republican or Democrat, if there were thousands of people camping out saying, we don't like black people, and they were there on Howard University campus. I picked them because they're a black school, one of the HBCUs, and they're a great school, by the way.
Yeah, they've
done some amazing things.
Right.
Can you imagine if there was a camp there with like 1,000 or 2,000 people in the middle of the school with signs saying, we hate black people. It would last 5 seconds. And guess what? Then President Biden would suddenly make his way there. But for some reason, because it's an election year and you know why he's doing it. And that's the saddest part of this all, Stan. That's so sad. He is selling out Israel and the Jewish students because he doesn't want to lose a single vote in Minnesota and Michigan and other places with big Arab American populations.
Rita, by the way, I don't know if you know, I couldn't believe it myself, that Trump is losing Jewish votes. I couldn't believe it. I saw a survey. It says he's losing. I don't know if you heard it. I didn't believe it.
Well, guess what? Guess what? Don't believe it. Because I have seen three different polls that say otherwise. So, you know, I would be highly surprised. And by the way, I actually think some will stay home because they don't want to vote for Biden.
Rita Cosby is on. The Rita Cosby Show presents Back the Blue.
And this Back the Blue segment is sponsored by the great GoyaCares.com, because you are a precious gift from God. Check out GoyaCares.com. They do so much to combat human trafficking and also instill the values of faith and family. Check out GoyaCares.com. And this powerful story coming from New York City, New York, where this week's MTA heroes are police officers Kelly Jaboon and also Rory Brewster. And listen to what they did. The two officers had been patrolling a Grand Central station on a cold day when they noticed a family in the subway system with a one-month-old baby who did not have a jacket. After speaking with the family, the officers then went on their own to a local store to buy a jacket and a pair of pants for the little baby. The officers say the parents were so thankful, and they too were thankful that they could help. Officer Brewster has been with the MTA for 6 years, and Officer Jaboon has been there for 5. And what a beautiful story of MTA officers coming to the rescue to help this family in need. And that little baby who incredibly didn't have a jacket or pants and now is bundled up thanks to the great men and women in blue. Well, the men and women in blue have been pretty busy with all of these protests taking place at different colleges across the country. Now it's up to about 50 different schools. And even though Stan thought it was all political, which I completely disagree, because Biden, boy, has been political, not even drawing attention to these protests. It's like Rome's burning. And what was it? Ali Vesey. Remember Ali Vesey at MSNBC? And he's there in Minneapolis and the whole building behind him is like burning. It's the police station burning during the BLM riots. And he's there with a straight face on camera saying things are peaceful. The protests are mostly peaceful protests. Yeah, right. You're like on hell and earth. And it's mostly peaceful. And I think Biden would like us to believe that things are fine on campus just because people are saying we love Hamas and we would like to see October 7th every single day and Jews burn in hell. Things are fine. Jewish students feel really comfortable on campus on those schools. I'm being facetious because it is downright dangerous. And that's why you have to clamp down early and clear. And this waffling from the president is downright destructive. We talked about the speaker today being their speaker, Mike Johnson, and I say bravo to him for showing up and doing a heck of a lot more than the president of the United States has done. And think about it, if the president of the United States had gone there and said, we are not going to tolerate this at this campus or any campus. And if he said it from the White House and says every single one that is protesting right now just because of the sensitivities that are going on overseas, I respect First Amendment rights, but given all the circumstances, you will be removed and you will be arrested. And I also like the idea of now some hedge fund guys saying, you know what, maybe we won't hire these people either, because it certainly says a lot about their character. I agree. Listen, these people are not like two-year-olds. These are college students and beyond, because there's outside agitators joining them too. They shouldn't get hired at firms. They shouldn't. They should be on a list saying do not hire, because it says a lot about their character and their lack of moral compass. And here is Congressman Anthony D. Esposito. He was at Columbia University today with Speaker Johnson. Remember, he was here on the show previewing what was going to happen today. And he said there is no gray here with him, and he thinks there should be no gray across America.
If you are a protester on this campus and you are proud that you've been endorsed by Hamas, you are part of the problem. When you cheer on the fact that you enjoy Hamas and Hezbollah, you are yourself part of the problem. Mr. Speaker, I am proud to join with you here today in calling for the immediate resignation of the president of Columbia. She has failed her duty. She is not keeping students safe. And we see on this campus the hate-filled speech that is carrying through this country.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, that university president, she's a Muslim American. I have many friends who are Muslim, by the way. But you have to wonder, is that playing a role as to why she is being so soft on these protesters? She set the date for last night to clear them out. They didn't move. And then somehow she just extended it 48 hours. Is she going to extend it 48 years? I mean, is this what we're in store for? This is what no leadership looks like. And this woman in the middle of all of this, too. I mean, there's some ties with Obama. You got to wonder sort of who's spearheading a lot of this stuff. And I say this because Barack Obama, well, there's a foundation. It's the Obama Foundation for Scholars there at Columbia. That's his alma mater. His former senior advisor at the White House left there after, I think it was about 2 years. And then now she's head of PR at Columbia. So there's a lot of Obama ties there to Columbia. Is he somehow pulling the strings here somehow? He certainly was having an input in Harvard. Remember, because he was friends with Claudine Gay. There were reports that he was the one who was pushing for Claudine Gay, that woman who was asked under oath on Capitol Hill, you know, is genocide for Jews not a good thing? She goes, well, it depends on the context. And of course, she was gone pretty soon after that, because what a silly, preposterous response. but maybe he's behind putting this woman in her position too. And who knows what he's saying if he's a big donor. You know, it's interesting. Where is Barack Obama, speaking of which? This is his alma mater. A number of people have spoken out about Columbia. We've seen Robert Kraft. We've seen a whole bunch of other different alums from whether it's that school or others speak out. Where is Barack Obama in the middle of all this? I haven't seen him say a word. And here is Columbia University, like the epicenter of it right now. And he's not saying anything. That to me also speaks volumes too. Wow. Well, here is Congressman Mike Lawler, who fortunately is saying something. And this is what he said today on the steps of Columbia University as he was flanked by the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson.
I want Palestinians to be free too from their oppressor, Hamas. And every single one of you students that support Hamas are an absolute abomination. It is shameful. Shameful that you would support a terrorist organization that butchered and beheaded and burned innocent women, children, and babies. I went to Israel a month after the attack on October 7th, and I watched a 21-minute unedited video, raw footage of the attack. I watched exactly of a terrorist organization. If you want a ceasefire, the fastest way for a ceasefire to occur is for Hamas to surrender and to release the hostages. And if you can't call for that, you are a pathetic embarrassment to this institution and to students everywhere. It is President Shafiq to resign in disgrace. She has lost control of this campus. She has lost control of this institution. And after listening to her comments inside, it is clear that she has no intention of getting this university under control and ensuring the safety and well-being of every student.
Bravo to him. And you heard in the background, the students didn't like hearing what he was saying, what Congressman D'Esposito, Congresswoman Maliotakis, also Virginia Fox, and of course, the Speaker of the House. They didn't like hearing it. They were like, boo, shouting, screaming. They couldn't believe these people came here and stuck it to them. I wish the president of the United States did the same thing. Where is the courage from our leader in the Oval Office right now? 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Russ. Russ, your thoughts.
Oh, hi, Reed. I thought I heard the students chanting, talk louder, Mike Johnson, talk louder. And, you know, Nancy Sliwa made a great observation that most of these students are from outside New York, and so they would certainly be outside agitators. They're outside agitated. But what I wanted to say is that I really feel that these campus protests are actually shielding us from potential terrorist attacks because it'd be counterproductive to stage terrorism in the U.S. while we're already so divided.
Although I disagree, two reasons. I'm not saying I disagree with that, Nancy. I disagree about your point that it shields us while we're so divided. I actually think that if I'm a bad actor, and I'm not talking about Nicolas Cage because he's a pretty good actor, by the way. I'm talking about, I love some of his movies, by the way. He's great. By the way, Con Air was good. That was great with Steve Buscemi. But if you are a bad, terrorist group, you're a terror leader, you're Hamas, I would say this is actually the perfect time, Russ. And the reason I say that is we have our hands full and we're so distracted. And when law enforcement in particular right now has their hands full because they've got so many of these people and they're rounding up, there's different campuses, you got 50 of them across the country. I actually think, sadly, it makes us much more vulnerable. And it also, Russ, comes at a time where our border is wide open. I mean, let's not forget, we've had 10 million people cross the border under this president, a whole bunch of gotaways. Most of the people, we have no idea who they are or their criminal background, who's in this country, and who knows what they're planning, with these outside agitators, as we're talking about, which I do agree that a lot of them are outside agitators. But that's even scarier because they seem to be well-financed, Russ. You look, the tents all look the same. They're nice, brand new tents. They're kind of lined up. A lot of these signs are Xerox, like it's like an organization. So I think it actually makes us very vulnerable because we've got our eye off the border. It's when you have your hands full that you're looking over here and they're planning something on the other direction. You know, they're planning something across town because they know all the police are busy on Columbia and at NYU and in Yale and in University of Texas and University of Southern California and L.A. tonight. All of these different places, it is tying up authorities and keeping them not aware of other things that may be in the works. So that's what's so scary, Russ. And I'm glad you brought that up, because the point that Professor Dershowitz had too is that these are some of the people that, if you look through history, have a proclivity to get pulled into some of these different groups. You know, they have a proclivity because clearly they're out there already shouting, "We love Hamas." So if somebody tied to a terrorist group maybe wants to recruit some of them, maybe some of them will have an epiphany at that point. But some of them may have a proclivity to say, sure, hey, what the heck? I've been shouting it for the last X months. I may as well help and do something else. And that's scary. But that is the reality. They claim to, some of them claim already to be brainwashed, it seems. So that's why it's a very scary time with so many of the things that are going on around the world and authorities so busy in so many different directions. And you know what? I think, Russ, we have to clamp down on these. We should have done it day one. Don't you think, had the president come down on the day one and came down hard, clearly, I'm just talking from a verbal perspective, and said, do not do it. We're not accepting it. But yet he's allowed it. And it's like a child who puts their hand on a hot stove, you know, until they get burned. They don't realize that it's hot and it's not a good thing, but they can kind of play around the stove. And if nobody says anything for a while, they kind of keep playing around it. And I think it's important that we let them know they are playing with fire and this is dangerous. And right now, the country's a cauldron. To your point, we are so divided. And that's why what's happening right now is so dangerous. Your thoughts, Russ, what do you think?
Rita, I think coming down hard is what's caused this whole situation to metastasize. And I certainly hope the FBI and counterterrorist task force are focusing on the border and real terrorists. But because I think masks are being worn because of the fear of doxing and the McCarthyite blacklist, this hedge fund guy is saying they're going to be blacklisted.
Wait, that's not America. Hang on a second, Russ. You know what? What is America is they can decide who they want to hire and who they don't. Why would you want to hire somebody who says death to America? Would you really want somebody at your company? I wouldn't.
I wouldn't want to be on a list that somebody decided I should be doxed or carried around on a truck. These people their lives are being endangered by people like Alan Dershowitz and other pro-fascist Israeli groups that are provocateurs. Israelis are walking, Jewish people are walking into the camps, and they are trying to have discussions with pro-Palestinian demonstrators, and they don't want to have a conversation with these Zionists because they're not really there to talk. They're there to provoke confrontation.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. So what about when they're shouting KKK at the black officers? I mean, these are you're not going to tell me that these are all nice, peaceful protesters. By the way, some of them are. I will give you that. But a lot of them aren't. And Russ, you know what? I agree with you about the doxing. I'm not a big fan of like doxing. If it's like here's following somebody home or address or any of the, I'm not a fan of that stuff. But I do think it is fair to say, hey, listen, here are the names of these people. If they come in to your hedge fund, maybe you don't want to hire them. You know, maybe not everybody has a list, but people have a right to decide who should be in their company and who shouldn't. And it says a lot about these people's moral clarity. That's different to me. That's different than doxing. That is saying this is not the kind of person for us. I mean, it's like, you're allowed to hire different people and you look at somebody's resume and say, on this resume, God, they led the encampment on Columbia University. They were the leaders of it. I think I might not want to have that person. Maybe that person could be a little divisive in my own company. And I was going to have them work with my really great Jewish programmer. Maybe that ain't going to work. I mean, don't you think, Russ? That's fair game.
Yeah. Would it be fair for corporations to compile lists of Zionist people and then decide that they don't want those Zionists working with them because they're a more progressive organization like Planned Parenthood? Would that be fair?
That's different, Russ. That's different. No, you know what's different?
Shoes on the other foot.
No, what's different is they're not out there saying death to good Palestinian people. We want to wipe every Palestinian person off the face of this earth. That's not what they're saying. They're saying death to Hamas. We want to get rid of Hamas. And the other group is saying we love Hamas. Do you think there's anything nice about we love Hamas or we want to see October 7th over and over again? They are praising terrorists, Russ. You can't be serious.
Yeah, there's some Israelis who say these are subhuman animals and they all need to be exterminated. There are some Israelis that say that. I don't think all Israelis believe that, but I'd like to know, do you think investigations should be started if these bodies outside the Al-Shifa hospital have been bound and tied and they're evidence of war crimes by Israelis? Do you think there should be sanctions against the Israeli military organization according to our U.S. laws? Do you think there should be sanctions if there are war crimes committed?
What I will say is I do not agree of people going after another group and saying, you know, malicious things like you just said, like they should be wiped off the face of this earth if they are good, peace-loving people. That's obviously not appropriate. That's not what we're talking about here, Russ. What we're talking about is people that are out there openly protesting, saying we love Hamas, and we think October 7th, when women and children were butchered and women were raped and the most horrible things happened to all of those different locations in Israel, there's no dispute. I think people who are praising those kind of monsters, it says a lot about their character. It's different. I have friends who are Palestinian. I have friends who are Jewish. I'm not either, as you know. I'm Polish Catholic, all right? But I can just tell you right now, Russ, I like good people, you know, full stop. I don't like people who cross the line. And I think anybody who's out there shouting vile things, guess what? I think that every company has a right to decide the character of that person. And if they're out there shouting, we love Hamas, well, guess what? We don't love them in our company. 1-800-848-9222. And we'll continue your calls after the break. Wow. Thanks a lot, Russ.
It's the Rita Cosby Show. This is the Rita Cosby Show.
And in the next hour, even though President Biden didn't have the guts to go to Columbia University, he did take the time to bash Israel again today as they were talking about the aid package, almost $100 billion. He also took time to bash President Trump and made fun of President Trump's hair. And then at one point he said, hello, pause. And then continue. Do you know how it says pause in a script? Like, hey, you should do a little break here. You're not supposed to know that because everything's scripted for him. It just shows he doesn't know what he's doing. He was reading the word pause. Unbelievable, guys. By the way, also, and definitely tune in for this tomorrow, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who again was at Columbia University today, he is going to be on tomorrow with Sid and Friends with my buddy Sid Rosenberg on WABC Radio. So make sure everybody that you tune into that. He's going to be on at 8:15 a.m. Eastern Time. You can also listen on WABCRadio.com. But he will be joining Sid Rosenberg tomorrow at 8:15 a.m. to talk about his visit, more about his time at Columbia and the students there. More after the break, everybody.